You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
When I was a boy growing up around ministry, I was always looking for what was true. I saw a lot of things. I saw lots of good things. I saw some things that were not so good. And it was my personal quest to separate what I felt was God and what was the stuff that sometimes we fluff it up with. And I want to share with you a sermon today I've entitled True Religion. True Religion. And we're in our series on Undivided, where we're talking about, you know, God bringing us back to a singularity of heart, that our focus is on Him, our attention is on Him, because we live in a world, we live in a time when there's so many things grabbing at us, trying to get a little bit of our attention, trying to get a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our focus, a little bit of our resources, but to have an undivided heart for God. So when I was growing up, I went to plenty of church services, and it was a blessing to be around a lot of ministers. But I was always asking myself, what is God and what is just the tradition of man? Because I promised myself, if I ever grow up and I go into the ministry, it's got to be all God and no fluff. You know, I'm not specifically against tradition. I just, if it's tradition that gets in the way of what God is doing, then we can't have that. Amen? So I want to start us off, if you'll go in your Bibles with me, to John 4:23. I want to talk to you about true religion. John 4:23. Now Jesus says, but the time is coming, indeed it's now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those that will worship Him that way. Somebody say true religion. True religion is true, or true worship, because there's a lot of religious people out there, and there's a lot of religions out there. But what is true? What is the Father seeking for? Anybody want to know what the Father is seeking for? That's what I'm concerned with. What is a true worshiper? Jesus says that a true worshiper is one that worships in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Say it with me one time. Spirit and in truth. Jesus made this prophetic statement to the woman at the well, and I believe this is a deep well of revelation for us this morning, in regards to what it means to really worship. There is something deep about understanding how we are to truly worship the Father. There's something deep and fundamental, but also profound in what God is saying. This is what I'm looking for in my sons and daughters. So Jesus says the time has come. Look at somebody say, the time has come. If you want to know God, you have to go a little bit deeper. A lot of times people, they just are looking on the surface. But how many know in life, you can't just look on the surface. You can't know a book just by its cover, right? You have to look on the contents of, you got to look deeper inside the book to know. So this Samaritan woman, just like many others of her day, had a superficial relationship with God. Okay, there was Judea and there was Samaria and there was a lot of mixture and there was a lot of superficiality that was happening among people, not just in Samaria, but in Jerusalem as well. But this Samaritan woman, it was a superficial relationship with God at best until she met Jesus. And Jesus was sitting by the well and he was inviting her to a deeper revelation, something that was a deep well of Revelation. It was, he had positioned himself symbolically by the well, but he was like, I'm about to take you to something deep. I'm going to give you something deep and prophetic and profound. And of course, water in the word, water in scripture represents the word of God. So Jesus was about to give her an insight about the true water, the true word. And so this is what Jesus was saying. I want to take you deeper. And I think this is what's so great about God, is he can make a true worshiper out of anyone. And he really, Jesus makes an example telling this story and giving this prophetic word and giving it to a woman that was an outcast. Not just an outcast of Jewish society, but probably, very likely, an outcast of her own Samaritan society because of her relationships. But God is making a point here that he can make a true worshiper out of anyone. This woman was an outcast. She had identity issues. She had relationship issues. There was racial discrimination issues going on between Samaritans and Jews. And she was in the midst of that. But God can take someone that people have looked down on and include them in this call to worship. Look at somebody and say, you're included. So God was saying this. Jesus was saying to this woman at the well, you can be included in this call to worship. Those that have been rejected and pushed away can now find the ultimate acceptance in Christ. Isn't Jesus an amazing redeemer? Amen? So just as Jesus was at a deep well, God wants to pull something deep out of your spirit. True worship is a deep thing. It's not just something that's on the surface. It's something that's deep in your heart. It's a heart position. It's a heart posture. For worship to be true, it's got to be happening deep on what the Bible says, on the inward part. But God wants to draw something deep out. The problem is with a lot of Christians today, you put the bucket down in their well, and what you come up with is not really that much. You put the bucket down, and you're bringing up nothing. And that's a problem, because God wants for us to have something to give to those around us. Amen? When you're in the desert, that's a problem if you put the bucket down and all you get is some hot air. But that's what many Christians are. You put the bucket down and you pull it up, and unfortunately, there's more hot air than there is living water. God wants us to have something refreshing, something flowing from us. Jesus said to the woman, if you're operating by the natural, you'll always end up thirsty. How many know some thirsty people? Yeah. Amen. It's like they've been trying the natural, but they try in the natural and they keep on ending up thirsty, right? You know what I'm talking about, church, right? Even some Christians, they're thirsty, right? Because they've been trying to go to the natural, trying to feed themselves by the natural, trying to drink from the natural. And Jesus said the natural will always wind you up thirsty. If you're using a natural bucket and you're using the natural well, you're going to end up thirsty. It's important for us as believers to know we need to use a spiritual bucket. Have a spiritual expectation, right? You need to be going to the spiritual well to pull up something that God has for us. Now, Jesus said, if you drink from this well, you'll be thirsty again. If you drink from the natural, be thirsty again. But if you get what I have on the inside of you, you will never thirst again. And he says, not only that, he said, streams of living water will flow from you. And this is important, because if streams of water are flowing from you, that means not only will you be satisfied and refreshed and renewed, but others will be able to stick their bucket down in a conversation, in a time of need, in a time that they're making decisions, and they'll be able to pull something up out of your spirit they will be able to make a demand from your spirit because you are generating. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you and that there's streams of living water coming. That's what Jesus said. When we act, when we interact with our unsaved friends and our unsaved family, when we begin to have conversation and they put the bucket down, what do they pull out? What do they pull out? Because the life of a true worshiper should be overflowing. Overflowing. So that there's always something to draw up. As Christians, we absolutely have to make sure that we have the Spirit of the Lord in abundance in our life. A deep well in our spirit. That when somebody makes a demand, they come up full every time. Something that my father drilled into me. And my mother as well, is that you never know if this is going to be someone's last opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't know if that friend or that coworker that you've been casually passing by, this is their last opportunity to make a decision for Christ. Could be something happened health-wise, could be a car accident. You don't know. Our responsibility is to be a deep well, to have the stream of living water like Jesus is talking about, that whenever that conversation happens, there's something to pull out. That's profound and it's timely. And I see in ministry a lack of balance in spiritual things. As I've taken a step back and I take a look over the years, and even you can review history, you can review spiritual history, and you can see some people, they worship God in spirit, but they lack truth. Or they have truth, but they lack spirit. They're trying to worship God with truth, the application of truth, but without enough spirit. Or they're worshiping God in the spirit, but they are lacking in the truth. Remember that God said, I'm looking for my sons and daughters, my children, to worship me in spirit and in truth. And this is a profound thing that Jesus was saying to us, that we need to worship in spirit and in truth. Because some only worship or mostly worship in the spirit. They're going around by their feelings. I feel this, I discern that, I do this, do that. But it's not anchored to the Word of God. And so it's easy for it to get off track. It's easy for it to be emotionally weighted to this side or emotionally weighted to that. Or they go through a circumstance and now the discernment is kind of off and the prophetic word is kind of shaky. Why? Because they're worshiping God in the spirit, but they're lacking in the truth. Very important. Jesus said, I'm looking for people to worship me in the spirit, in the truth. It's critical when moving in the spirit to be anchored to the Word. When moving in the Spirit, it's critical to be anchored to the Word. The Spirit of God flowing through you as a believer can be negatively impacted by emotions and circumstances if you're not anchored to the Word. I've seen this over and over again with men and women of God, with ministry people, with prophetic people, that the prophetic gift is only as good as the purity of heart and the clarity of mind. You could be the most powerful prophetic person, the most powerful discerning person, right? And if you don't have your emotions in check, what happens? You start to move in a spirit of suspicion, or now you're going on a witch hunt instead of discerning things. And prophesying, someone speaking a prophetic word in complete truth and purity, that's what can happen. So some people I've seen have amazing gifts. But we have to be careful if we're not anchored to the Word. So we can just worship the Lord in spirit, we have to be anchored. Jesus said, the Father is seeking those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, some Christians, they're on the other side of the spectrum, right? They worship God in the truth. But they're not, it's lacking spirit. It hasn't been watered. It hasn't been softened with the discretion and the understanding of how God wants to apply that word in the given circumstance. They know the word of God and they're operating by the principles of God, but they lack, the Spirit has not touched and watered the word, so they're lacking in the application of the word. Listen, we have to operate in spirit and in truth. When we try to open the word of God and read the word of God and act out the word of God, but we haven't watered it with the Spirit, it says the Holy Spirit will bring us into all truth. So it's okay. It's great. I want you to open your Bible and read it every day, but you need to read it with the understanding of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that kind of opens it up and helps us understand how to apply the word of God. If you read the word of God outside of the revelation of the Spirit, you're going to miss something. It's the Spirit that illuminates the understanding of his word. Oftentimes, people that are operating in truth alone, or mostly truth without enough spirit, are frustrated in their assignment. People that operate in truth without enough spirit are a little bit light on grace, or a little too harsh. Somebody say it with me, spirit and truth. The Father is looking for something. Jesus says the Father is looking for something. When the Father looks down, he's seeking something out of his children. He's looking at the church. He's looking through his believers. And he's looking for a specific thing. Our Heavenly Father is looking for children that get this concept. And they have the revelation of spirit and truth. The Father is looking for children that are not way off on one side, or way off on the other side. But he's looking for children that are grown in the understanding and the operation of the Spirit and in truth. Both are equally important. And you need both to represent the way that Jesus represented God. Philippians 3:3, if you will go with it in the word. It says, "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised." We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. We worship the Spirit and we have true circumcision. Listen, those two concepts coming back. We worship the Lord in spirit and we have true circumcision. That means we've lined our life up with the word of God. So we have the spiritual side and we have the lining up with the word of God. We're anchored to the word and we have the spirit of God. And when we add these two things together, Paul says we come up with this conclusion that I have no confidence in the flesh. Man, when I was reading this week, it just floored me. Because it's one thing for us to say, well, I have more confidence in God than I have in natural things. But Paul said, I've gone to a place in spirit and in truth and application that I put absolutely no confidence in the flesh. How is that for faith? Paul says, no confidence. Where do you put your where do you put your trust? Where do you put your confidence in? Paul says, I put all confidence in God and no confidence in the flesh. No trust, no faith in the flesh. That's what true worship looks like. Read it again. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised, the ones that worship in spirit and in truth. We rely on Christ Jesus, what he's done for us, and we put no confidence in human effort. Powerful. Romans 12:2. Go there really quick. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. You see, true worshipers need to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. The renewing of the mind happens when the Holy Spirit mixes with the truth of the Word of God and is applied to your life. And I say it again, the renewing of your mind happens when the Holy Spirit mixes with the truth and is applied to your life. If you want a transformational experience, have the Spirit and the truth. That's what God's looking for. If you have the truth without the Spirit, you'll be too harsh. You'll be too hard. If you have the Spirit with no truth, you'll lack an anchor and you'll be all over the place. This is a very practical guide post for a believer. For any level, you always have to take an account in every season of your life. Am I balanced between the Word and the Spirit? Because I want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They both have to be in operation. Can we go a little bit earlier in our main scripture, John 4:19-20. This is what sets Jesus up to say the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. Listen to this. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. She had just told him about all the relationships she had, relational issues she had going on. Jesus prophesied. He had a word of wisdom, word of knowledge about this. And he said, this is what's going on in your life. And then he starts giving her a deep revelation. And so she says, you must be a prophet. So tell me, she's asking him a question, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Can I tell you this? Tradition is a cheap substitute for truth. She was trying to tell Jesus, this is ridiculous, if she knew the fullness of who Jesus was before he told her. This is before she realized who he was. She's trying to tell Jesus about tradition, and Jesus is telling her about truth. She's trying to tell Jesus about, well, this is your tradition, and this is our tradition, so how does all this tradition play out in how we worship? And he said, it doesn't matter. That tradition doesn't play a factor in this. Actually, what you need is the Spirit, and you need the truth. Sometimes you have to cut away the fluff and get back to what is exactly the truth of the Word of God. How many know that we as people, as human beings, have a way of adding to, but the Scripture says don't add to or take away anything from the Word of God. And so sometimes we fluff it up, but Jesus said, you know what, let me just chop off this tradition. Let me just chop off that tradition, and let's get back to the truth, and let's apply some spirit with that, and then you're going to be what God is looking for in this next move. This is the time. So Jesus was more concerned about truth than the traditions of man. The Jewish people had traditions. The Samaritans had traditions, but Jesus was not concerned about either tradition. He was concerned about the Word of God and the mixture of the Spirit of God with that Word. You see, in their society, a Jewish man didn't talk with a Samaritan woman. It was culturally inappropriate. It was traditionally inappropriate. But the Spirit and the truth led Jesus, not tradition. Not cultural correctness. See, some of us need to come down to the altar and get delivered from cultural correctness and traditional correctness. We need to get away from that, because sometimes Jesus just comes into our life and just lumps that off. Boom. Boom. Cuts the tradition clean off. Jesus would go and eat with sinners. Traditionally incorrect. Jesus would minister to people that were living in sin, incorrect. Jesus would touch lepers, culturally, traditionally incorrect. But he wasn't led by the traditions of man. He wasn't led by what was culturally appropriate. He was led by spirit and in truth. I love our cultures, but we have to put our culture to the side when it separates us from the spirit and the truth. She said, our nationality, right? She says, the Samaritans, we do it this way. And I understand that you, in your culture, amen, y'all worship God with this style of worship. Amen. We do it up on the mountain. We do it funky. Y'all do it at the temple. Y'all are too traditional. But he said, no, all of that's tradition. And all of that's fluff. This is what the Father's looking for. Spirit and truth. Will you stand with me today? The Father's looking for spirit and truth. That's what the Father is seeking for. These qualities among his people. Will you join hands with somebody and just close your eyes with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people, for your children, God. Father, your desire is to cultivate these qualities and to, God, activate the Spirit and the Word in their life. The Spirit and the truth, God. Not for us to be half truth and half the Spirit, but us to be the full measure of truth and the full measure of the Spirit of God operating in our lives. Let us hear you. Let us sense you. Let us feel you. Let us go with you. But let us be anchored to what we know is the Word of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your people, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for a season of growth, God. A season of activation like never before, God. That sons and daughters will prophesy, God. That the young men will see visions. That the older men will dream dreams, God. That you'll pour out your Spirit on all flesh, God. Lord, that we'll see a great move of God in our city. That we'll see a great move of God in our families. That we'll see a great move of God everywhere that we go in our communities, God. And the people that we interact with. God, I thank you, Father, for the overflow in our lives, God, that our wells will overflow with these streams of living water, God. The stream of living water, God, that's coming out of our life, God. I thank you, Father, that the transformational work that you're doing in our lives through the Spirit and the truth would be so profound that we would overflow. Overflow, overflow, overflow. In a conversation, we overflow. In a time of need, that we would overflow. In a time of decision, whether it's our decision or someone else's decision, crossroads of somebody's life, God, let us overflow with your Spirit. Maybe it's a prayer that we need to pray. Maybe it's a prophetic word that we need to give. Maybe it's a word of knowledge, God. Maybe it's that we're giving, pouring out ourselves with the gift of encouragement or love or sharing the gospel. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would make us overflowing wells of your Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.